Leah Bavoy and six pack lab. But I was just saying, so I went to a gym in Quebec. I was there on vacation, or not vacation, for business, and talking to a lady at the front desk, and for sure was injecting testosterone, and her voice was like mine, and it was like, holy smokes. And she looked good and everything, like jacked or whatnot. But sometimes it, like, yeah, it is, testosterone is 17 times more in men than it is women. And when women put testosterone in their bodies, it changes their bodies. And I remember, years ago, Gracie V, who was very prominent in the untested powerlifting world, she was running, oh crap, that one, what's that one big, huge competition in the untested from a few years ago? I forget the name of it now. Frick, I can't believe I'm blanking on the name. It
I
was
can't.
like, at the time, everybody was in it, and it had a huge prize money with like Larry Wheels, John Hack was in it, Steffi Cohen.
It's not the animal cage. No, it's not that.
That was, no, that was at the Arnold. Frig, I'll, it'll come to me. But anyway, so it was huge, and she was running it. She was very prominent in the untested. And she did a podcast one time. It might have even been a video with Meg Squats, I want to say. This is going back like 2017, 18. So if I got it wrong, she did one of those. She'd been on King of the Lifts as well, but we didn't discuss the topic of PEDs. But she was very open, extremely open about PEDs. And it was good because she let people know, here's some truth about PEDs that people won't tell you. So for women, she was saying things will change in your body that will not go back. Like, you do this, these steroids for a short period of time, and certain things will change on your body, whether it's hair growth, your voice, like changing, or even even
You're in
like,
your pussy. You can
oh my
just
God,
say
I didn't see that coming. You went straight to the punch. I was like struggling to say it. You're like, I got you, fam. Say less. Let me jump
it.
in there.
Yeah, there is
Yes.
like that they will, even if you stop that, they will never come back as they were
Never.
before.
It'll never go back. And this is where, like, when people are do use and do PEDs, when they go on podcasts, at the very least, like Garrett Fear came on King of Lists like back in the day, 2017, 18 range, or maybe 19, but anyways. And he was extremely open. He's in the untested, and he was saying, like, I'm telling anybody who's listening, don't do it. Don't do it, because you're going to go through a path and not know what you're starting.
It's funny because most people, athletes I know and talked about it, and the one they are on, they say the same. Like, if you start, it's hard to go back and to just stop it. So, if you begin, you really have to be sure that this is what you want to do because, like, there is no comeback from that.
And because, like, for men, because testosterone is a m major hormone for us, and it makes you you. Your hormones make you you. So the way you act, the way you carry yourself, how you feel, all of that is your hormones. And when you inject testosterone into your body says, all right, I don't need to make testosterone anymore. We're getting it injected. So you'll stop making it. And then when you stop injecting it, sometimes your body turns it back on and you're good. Other times you could go through a period where it's just not coming back on. We don't know.
Sure.
It's not like a science for everybody. And if that's you, it is, could be horrific. Like, you're in hell. Like, you aren't you anymore. You will be like, we're severe, like, for a male to have no testosterone, severe anxiety, depression, the whole nine. Because, and people like, why? Because you got smaller, you feel bad about yourself. No. Even if you magically kept all your muscle mass. If I took away your testosterone, your anxiety and depression go through the roof as nothing. It just, you can't do anything about it. That's the chemicals that make you you. So when you play with that, I don't think people understand. When you play with chemicals that make you you, Garrett Fear came on the podcast and was like, you may never be you again. That's what people don't say. Like, you are not you again. You got to be careful. It's scary, man. I don't know what's worth. That's what I don't think enough people think about that.
It's a little bit different, but I have that type of the same process that you have but with birth control, and this is why I don't want to take it, because I understand like it's one of the best way to not have kids, and if you are with your partner since quite a bit, like you don't want to use condom and everything, like it's I can understand that, but I see it like I'm playing with my hormones, and this is not normal. Like this is not something like for me in the long term. It can be something good, because well, I'm taking the short way saying that. But you are making believe to your body that you are pregnant all the time, kind of. So how can that be good for your body? Like it's not like you are taking estrogen and progesterone and whatever. So, and I have the same thought. So that's why I never wanted to take it, because I think it's not, yeah. But I do understand there is some people, some women who really, really need it for other causes. But yeah, that was my thought when you were
Yeah,
talking about.
it was true. You like we don't fully think about these things once we start moving to certain paths. And that's why, too, where it's funny where some people are like, do you take creatine? Because that's like a steroid. It's like, man, are you kidding me?
I think most there is no much people now that really think that. I think that was like 10 years ago, but now I think it's okay. We're talking more and more about creatine. Maybe our parents, our old generation, but I feel like the new generation, they are like, it's okay. Whey protein, they know what is it.
Is there, yeah.
Creatine. Well, when you are already in the fitness space, maybe when you are not, it's different, but I feel like it's time to change a little bit.
You made a post about make sure you take your creatine, didn't you?
Yeah. I do the full promotion of it.
Did a full promotion. It does work though. I mean, if the things you could do that's not going to mess you up and you're allowed to do, creatine is probably number one.
There is some supplement there. It's really only marketing for sure, but there is some that we have a lot of. Especially on creatine, there is a lot of data about it, like a lot of sources. It's one of the most it's the supplements with one of the most like they make research about it. So, well, we know it's safe, and we know it works, and it's worth it. So
Because
take your credit.
yeah, exactly. If you want, for people who don't know, you're with Ben Escrow, who not only is a coach with the strength guys, but he's been in the supplement business for years. Like he's in still in the supplement business. Obviously went to school for all this, so he knows all of this stuff. As a matter of fact, going back to
He's passionate, but he knows everything. You ask him something, it's gonna tell you like, and you
yeah.
can hours. He's just a nerd about it.
But he, I remember like talking about the PEDs, et cetera, and popping 2019 Worlds, we were saying before we started recording, is when Kelly Branton popped. And Kelly Branton was like the poster boy for Canadian powerlifting. And I remember being in the warm-up room in Sweden 2019. It's so crazy to talk about 2019, but
Yeah,
worlds, because
sometimes.
everything was, yeah, everything's different now. And him pulling up the data sheet of the things Kelly popped for, and Ben being like, this is for that, that's for this, like breaking it down. And one of them was, just for growth, for like it becoming a bigger human being, this is why you would take that. Like not just steroid wise, but like, increasing appetite, etc. And obviously, Kelly Brandon at the time, his hashtag was eat and grow, eat and grow. And Kelly Brandon was massive, man. But yeah, it was tough, man, for Canadian powerlifting. 2019, can you believe it that at that point, you won a bronze medal and it was like super
It was
cool. I
bird
remember
shot 29.
it, you were happy with a bronze medal at the time. This was like a big deal. We had no idea what you'd end up doing.
I was so that I broke the world record squat. I think at that time it was 188 or 183, I don't remember. It was 180 something. And I took the third place, and I was like only 2.5 kilos from the second, and it was Samantha Calhoun.
Sure.
And to be honest, I was not expecting that much. I wish I would have been on the podium. It was a big goal, but it was not even a goal. It was more so a dream that I make that become true. But yeah, it was great. It was really, really great. And
It's
France was not France now. Like, we were just very few athletes. It was just, I think it was just me, Noemi, Pana. Yeah, we were like maybe four or five athletes, and we were
So,
not even up yet.
nobody knew who anybody was over there either.
Yeah.
Like, you know me and Penna, like everyone knows you guys now, but like at the time, people didn't know. It was so different back then. France was not France. France was not France
It
back then.
was
What's that?
was just the beginning.
It was the very beginning. And yeah, you showing up, taking a bronze medal. I mean, I remember going into that world championship. Sam Calhoun was probably the most like highly coveted of the 63s. She had been the world
Yeah.
championships before, and she like almost won in 2018 and would have pulled for the gold medal against Jen Thompson or pulled for the world record. Something like that popped up, and she ended up not pulling for gold. Jen Thompson was surprised. She's like, "Oh, I thought she would have pulled for the gold." Okay, well, I guess I'm the world champ. Then 2019, people were thinking Sam, this is probably Sam Calhoun's division to take over. And frig, you, Gara, pop up. And it was just like, oh my gosh. It just goes to show, like, A, people are coming out of nowhere all the time. B, when you got your opportunity, you better load up. Because tomorrow is not promised. Right?
That's true. That's true.
It's so, would you look back now, like, were the things about that you miss where nobody knew who you were, things were simple, or you know what I mean? Or do we just, you know how when you look back to sometimes it's nostalgia and you think you like it more, but it's just nostalgia. This is better now.
I think I'm torn. I'm torn because there is stuff that I really loved about the beginning of powerlifting in France. But we made everything in order like to make it grow. So now it's big. It's really, really big. And there is like pro and con about it. There is good thing and
Yeah.
bad thing with it. So yeah, I'm torn. There is stuff that I wish would have stayed like in 2019, but yeah. But there is still that I love now about it too. So I can't complain about it.
Like I just seen a post. You guys being France, have 10,000 members now. It's
Yeah.
crazy. That's insane.
It's really getting big. Like, I remember when I started, like my first, I did 1 year in junior in France, and after I went to open in 2016, I did my first meet, my
Oh,
French
wow.
junior. And I remember we were like maybe 10 or 15 girls, like every division. It was like nothing. And now when I see the juniors and the open, I'm like, Wow. There is like every weight class, there is at least 10 to 20 girls. It's really, really crazy. So this is the first year before we were able to do like the open championships in like one weekend. And now we had to split it in 4 or 5 days because it's too much for the juniors and sub juniors too. We had to do it for 1 week. While before it was 1 weekend, maybe 3 days max, and it was over. And now we have so many people having the minima to compete at nationals that they have to increase it every year because at some point, like you can't do France for during 2 weeks, like it's not possible. Yeah, it's just crazy to see it grow. And what I love, it's not just the man size, it's also the woman size, and that's a big satisfaction for me.
I mean, big time on the women's side. As a matter of fact, I think the women's side, like in probably ahead when it comes to this, right? In terms of, in terms of competitiveness. Now the men's side's catching up. Obviously, Penna winning twice. There's other lifters that are definitely world class, but the women's side is exploding.
He's the only man in the Open who have a world title twice. When we are more in the woman's side, like there is Noemi, Tiffany, me. I don't know if I'm missing someone else, but and most of them we have made podium and stuff like that. When men, he's a big figure now for male.
When you first started in 2016-ish, and I remember those days. This is like when John Hack, Brett Gibbs were at Worlds. First off, how did you get into it? You know what? This is so crazy because I remember in 2019 when I first had you on the podcast. I remember this. And now I'm getting nostalgia thinking about it. But in 2016, how did you find powerlifting? In the first place, and what was it like? Did you watch the world championships and watch some of the women and be like, I want to be like that, or how did this happen?
Yeah, so there is like a big it was a big thing, fitness, like almost 10 years ago. It was really, really big in France. Everybody was talking about bodybuilding. It was the first IFBB show in France, stuff like that. And I was watching those women, their physics, and I was like, oh, I love it. I want to be like that. So I went to the gym at first for that, like in order like to look like a bikini. I didn't really want to compete because I didn't really feel comfortable. Like it's just a little bit too girly for me, like to be in the suite and like showing and posing. Like it's yeah. But I really enjoy the physique. So I went to the gym for that, and there is a coach who was there. Who was helping me at that time and became my first powerlifting coach. It was Anthony Graziani. He just find out that I had a potential for that. And so I did my first quad bench and deadlift with him, and I just fall in love with the sport, and I was like, there is competition. And he said that there is IPF competition, and I said, okay, I want to do that. But that's how it started, really. And a
You
few months after, they were World Junior. I don't remember if it was World Junior or European Junior. I think it was Worlds because it was in June. It was World Junior, and I was in the Open actually too, and I was watching it. And in the 63, Carola Gara was competing at the junior at that time, and I
What?
was like,
Really?
yeah, she was
This
competing. I
is
went
crazy.
on the juniors. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Thompson in the at the Open at that time. And I was like, okay, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to be on the platform with her. Yeah, one day I will go to World Championship.
I got it. Okay, I gotta look this up now. One sec, because that's crazy in terms of how the story unfolds.
Yeah,
Bro.
When I started to watch it was in 2015. Worse 2015 for sure.
Let me see here. Is Corolla two L's? Oh my gosh. One L. Okay. Yoink, so I got her pulled up. Let's scroll this back a little bit. European Classic 2016 in Estonia. She was a junior. And where are we at the Worlds? World Championship 2018. So I think it would have been Europeans. In 2018, she was at the Worlds, and Jen Thompson definitely won that one. It's so crazy that even from the beginning,
So it was 2016 or 27. I was,
well,
it was
16 was Europeans, 18 was Worlds. If I'm looking at the timeline properly. She was also at set 2017 Europeans as well as a junior 63. So you knew about her right from the get-go. It's so interesting that you guys would be linked like this.
pressing the beginning.
So in fast forward all these, so anyways, before we get into like the present time, it is like everything was different back then in terms of like social media, in terms of like how much attention, podcasts, everything was different back then.
There were not that many podcasts, not that many athletes that much on social media at that time. Like, they were athletes, but most of them, they were into bodybuilding, fitness. It was not so much into powerlifting, especially in, like, in Europe, in France. I was one of the first in Instagram to post my training and stuff with Pana, Noemi. Tiffany was not there yet. Yeah, we were the first ones. Like, it's crazy when you think about it, actually.
100%. I watched you guys grow, and that's why it's so amazing to see now that you guys are all together, like doing Silent Worker, SPD France. Is there parts of it though, like, is there parts of it that you miss about it being early days? You didn't. None of you guys were world champions yet. None of you guys are exploded. When I see your social media now, like I was talking about Silent Worker. And people line up to take pictures with you guys. People like are all over you guys. When you guys post, crazy amount of likes, shares, like everything's changed. Sheffield is around now and it's like a massive event. All you guys are going to be there. You, Penta, Turbo are all going to be competing at the next one. But, and it's big, but there was something about the simple days too. I don't know. What do you think? I like it, but it is.
Yeah,
There's good and bad with it.
we were like the underdog. We can say that, like the end that it's not that we were hiding, but we were not that famous into the powerlifting community. And things were just different. But I think what I miss more, it's maybe that there were less pressure at that time a little bit. Now there is more pressure. Because we have sponsors, because there is big meets, because people know us, because our business depends on that too, with SBD friends, Silent Worker. And so it's still a passion, but before it was really just passion, and now it's passion plus work, even if we are really happy to work with our passion, but it's just more pressure. And we lost some friends too in the journey, and I think I missed some of them sometimes, like the good moment, the good memories, and yeah, and we lost those people, and I know it will never come back as it was. But Pana and I, we are really the ones with Guti, Rick, and some of the friends who really stick to it. No matter what, because it's like we live together all the time. We see each other every day since we began our first gym in, like, it was in like 2018, I think. We barely have money. We were saving the little money that we have in order, like, to get our team to be able to train together, to get the equipment, and now we don't struggle with that anymore. But yeah, it's just nice to think about it. Yeah. Well.
It's like previously you guys were like a garage band. I don't know if you guys use that term in France, where you're like a small band playing in your friend's garage with dreams of making it at some point, and you do
Yeah.
small local shows. And now you guys are like the band that got signed to that major record label, and you're doing Sheffield, and you're doing the biggest venues possible. And it's just like that. And when you watch those documentaries about bands that make it, all the things you just said happen.
It just feels that at that time we didn't have anything to lose, and now we feel like we have stuff to lose. So it just feels different, but we were dreaming about it. We were dreaming about make Prolifting grow. We were dreaming about becoming a world champion one day. We were dreaming about all that stuff, and we're dreaming big about Salon Worker. I remember the first time that Salon Worker started. I remember Anissa, who said, "Imagine one day if we sponsor the French Federation." And now it's happened. Yeah, just good memories.
It is cool to see things actually come to fruition and actually happen. And Anissa, who, like, for people listening, is Penn's fiance, and like more than that, though, she is like a backbone to like SPD, Silent Worker within the Federation.
She's in the shadow, but she's the one managing most of Salon Worker and SPD France. She's my best friend. She's Pana's fiance. They're gonna get married next year. She's our everything.
Yeah. Well, she Penna says too. He's like, she, because when Silent Worker Meet happens, she does, and you like all you guys do, but she does so much. She does so much work, but in the background, because she's not like a world-class lifter. So people might not know, but the amount of work that Anissa does, it's crazy. It's her and Penna are like a dream team because they have each other and they're building each other up. If they didn't have each other, I don't know. I'm sure they would be successful, but it helps. They are like the perfect partners like that.
Anissa will be successful on her own way. I don't know about Pana. Pana without Anissa, he's So I don't know if the Pana that you know without Anissa, I don't know if he would be that Pana.
Because he could, for sure, in terms of the athletic side, sure. But in terms of everything Anissa brings for like Silent Worker, SPD, etc., it's just, and it's huge. It's you, it really is. You guys are like the epitome of surround yourself with the right people because you can't do it alone.
But
And
I think
you got.
I really used to say that, well, we call it each other équipe, my strengths, because the weakness of someone's gonna be the strength of someone else in our group, and we really complete each other. And I think this is why we stick with each other so much. It's because we are really we share the same values, we share the same vision. We share the same dreams, and we have a lot of respect for each other, and we are able to be friends and to be teammates too, like to work together, and we complete each other on so many points. So for example, Anissa, she's really like into global stuff. I'm more into details, so we complete each other on that way when we work together. I'm not an artist at all. I don't have that type of brain. Like, it's really Pana, he has like a really artistic side. So we complete each other because he gonna have a full picture of the artistic side, and Anissa is gonna have that global vision, and I'm gonna have the details vision. So the three of us, when we work, it's a perfect match, for example. So yeah, and we know, as we know each other, I know the weakness and I know the strength of each other too. It's easier to work together too.
So, and what about Taro Tiff? She's the spicy one. She gets things done. I remember when we were at Silent Worker. Remember, it was a long day. And me and you were chilling for a minute, eating some fast food. And they were like packing or unpacking one of the vans or trucks. And Taro Tiff's looking at us. And we're like, oh, Taro Tiff's not happy. We gotta start moving some things around. We gotta get back to work.
No, I think Chirvatif, we see her like she's still really young compared to us because we have like 10 years difference, and we just feel that what we are building now, she's gonna be the new generation to take it because we don't wanna be here forever. So it's like a heritage that we are building for her. So she's fully integrated to the group, and it's like we are like I don't know how to say it. We are forming her. No.
Yeah, like helping bring her along.
Yeah.
It's, well, I mean, like a mentorship. Look, you guys got her when she was like 20. Around there, 21 maybe. And if you, most people, when they're like 20 years old, this is what I was gonna say. But you came into the sport when there was like almost nothing. There was like so little in the sport, and you guys built this from the ground up as a team, built the
Yeah,
federation,
like
and you and
for example, I think, and I don't say that in order like to be like, oh, blah blah blah. Just I think she was lucky to find us because we already have a gym. There were no powerlifting gym around. So she was able to train in really good condition. She had us that have already experienced into powerlifting to help her grow as an athlete. She found Pana as a coach. Like, there were already a lot of stuff established when we began. There were nothing, and we had to build everything together. So yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like timing is everything in life. And for some people, like, yeah, Turbo Tiff, finding you guys, even the social media pop that she could jump on, it's already happening. She could jump on it and she brings a lot to, she brings, you know, it's for both. It's good for Penna. He's got a world-class athlete. For her, she's got a world-class coach. For you guys, social media-wise, she jumps on. You and Penna are huge on social media. She brings a lot for social media too because she's a world champion, post the whole nine, right? So it's you guys all help each other. But for sure, her coming around at a time where you guys are already doing Silent Worker, you guys are already doing these money meets, you guys are already established. It's just a different time period.
We gave her the opportunity to work with us instead of working for, I don't know, like something that she doesn't really like, that it's gonna, like, we understand, like, she compete and stuff like that. So it's easier, like, to take breaks when she has to compete from work with Silent Worker and SBD. So yeah, I think she's lucky because she had big opportunities at that time, and she, but it's not only that, because if she was not the right person to fit, I think she won't be there anymore. But she had that big opportunity, and she knew how to take them and how to make the best of it too. Like, because she's a really good person.
Yeah, she 100%, you guys are all workers. Like that's one thing that nobody's lazy over there. Like I've seen it. Well, I mean, not only just being like world champions, but I mean in all your side projects. Like you guys do reffing, you guys hold money meets for other people. You're not even competing at these money meets like Silent Worker. You're doing two a year now, giving away money, giving people an opportunity to lift with like international lifters. I mean, it's all you guys are like, and not only that, but like obviously SBD France, it is an opportunity for sure for her and all you guys to, if you're peaking for a competition and it's not a normal day job, you could be like, look, I need 3 hours of training and I need to do it at this time point and I need to be there and you guys will work around that schedule. But on the flip side, you guys, I don't even know how you guys keep up with all your different side projects. You guys left IPF Worlds and immediately went to like a fitness expo, got off a plane and got there. And it's like, 'cause we got to be there. We got to set up shop. We got to open up, you know, we got to be present. And
Yeah.
it's like, oh, no celebration. You know, you win, Penna wins, Turbo wins, no sticking around, no celebration, no nothing. It's like, no, we got to go. Because we got to work because we are running companies now. It's like, frig, you guys are hustling hard on all fronts. But
But it doesn't feel like I'm working to for me anymore. Like I was a teacher during 7 years, and it really felt like working because it was just me. I was not really passionate about that work. And every morning when I was waking up, I was feeling stressed. I didn't want to go. But now, even if like I'm working way more than when I was a teacher, but I'm so passionate about powerlifting and not just being an athlete, like every part of powerlifting, with the federation, with referees, with running meets, that even if it's really, really exhausting, a lot of stress too, but it's different because I just don't feel at work and I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I love to work for Saturn Worker. I love to work for SBD Friends. And yeah, and I'm just really, really happy because what we have now, it's also because of everything we built from the beginning with Pana. And we worked so hard in order like to become world-class powerlifters, to have all those opportunities. And I just feel like now we begin like to have something that we created. So, and we worked so hard for. So yeah, really, really happy about that.
you guys are living the dream, Leah. Like that is the dream, is like not to work for someone else, but to work for yourselves. Go show up in the morning. When I was there at Silent Worker and you guys were loading up the truck, and Penn is like, let me give you the tour of the Silent Worker, like your guys, you know, facility headquarters. I don't know what to call it, but and with pride, he was showing me around. With pride, he's showing me like, this is my office. This is, you know, Leah's office. This is where Turbo is. This is Anissa's. Here's Leah's treadmill. Here's our inventory. You know, this is Silent Worker. This is SVD Fritz. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, and this is where when we take breaks, play some video games, whatever. You know, I see like the coffee maker or whatever. And I'm like, when do you guys get in? When do you guys leave? He's like, it could depend. You know, we arrive at this time, stay till whenever. You could come back in the evening. And it's like, you guys are living the freaking dream. It looks like a house, like a frat house that you would live in, you know, when you're young with living with all your friends. And I'm like, man, I'm sure there's stressful times, but it's different when it's not just a coworker you don't know, but it's your friend and you want to, you chose to be there and you grew it together. And when shit gets hard and you and Nisa are staying up late, packing things and putting packages together and getting things out the door, and it's last minute and stressful. It's you and your best friend doing it, though. It's not you and just some coworker and you're stressed out and you're working for someone else. It's you and your best friend working for yourselves, doing this yourselves. It's so different. This is, I don't know, like however long this period of your life goes for, you gotta live it up. Because this, I tell Penny this all the time. I get all like, you know, I'm like, man, this is special. This is special. Who knows when you're like 60 what life's going to be like? But this period right now, that's just your day job is amazing, let alone winning world titles, flying around the world together, and having all these crazy experiences.
We really do everything together. Like that's true. Like we are always together at the gym, at the office. We travel together, like for the meets. So even if one of them, one of us that don't compete, we're gonna go. Like we always like a team, flying and moving around to support each other. And you're right. You're right. What we have is really, really special. So I just cherish it every day.
Yeah, this is it's a Bruce Lee had a quote. I think it was Bruce Lee. And he was like, if you're here's the thing with life, it's good and it's dual purposed. Nothing lasts forever. That's good and bad. When you are at a high point in life and everything's good and you're looking around like, holy shit, I can't believe how lucky I am. Be in the moment. It won't always be like that. That's not life. That's a beautiful thing, though. Because I actually, it was actually at Silent Worker. I was with Rory and I looked over to Rory in the middle of all of this. I had like no sleep. We're all tired. And I'm like, dude, I don't even care. I love this so much. It doesn't matter. This doesn't feel like work. And I'm here like, whatever, like working commentary, whatever. And I'm like, I love this so much. Can you imagine if this was all we did? And I'm going to go back to my normal day job and my normal life when I fly back home. And he's like, because it's limited, it's special, because it's a finite time. And you know, be that makes you recognize it's special because
Yeah.
it's fleeting. The fact that it's fleeting makes this special. And it put in perspective to me when he said that, like, you're right. You think you like, you're right. Fine. It's true. It's fleeting. It's not an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's here's your portion on your plate. So when I'm eating off that plate, I'm like, this tastes so good. I'm gonna take my time and cherish it. Because when I'm done my plate's done. And then there's no going back up to the buffet to get more. So while I'm eating that plate, every bite, I'm like, this is good. This is every conversation is like, this is, I'm cherishing it. And so with the Bruce Lee quote, it's high when everything's going great. Cherish it for really real. Don't take it to for granted. The people in your life, the moments, you know, you show up and be like, no, this is special because it might not be there. On the flip side, when you're having a tough time and shit's hitting the fan, and you're like, I'm barely hanging on right now. And that'll come too in life. That will come in life as well. We've had conversations about this as well. You know, we've all dealt with this, those moments. Same thing. Same thing. That is fleeting and that will pass. And you will not always feel like that. And as bad as you feel in that moment, that will not be the same like in the future. That'll also pass. So it works two different ways. Wherever you're at in life, just recognize it won't be like this forever.
That's
But
true. You
I just got deep on you,
did.
We went from PEDs on female body parts to this. We
Really deep philosophical life to
That's
deep
right.
life.
It's when you guys, when you first started, how does the government helps out French powerlifting athletes, right? At least to an extent.
No, it doesn't. Well, actually, it depends. So, in some region in France, you can ask for some money, but it's like it's nothing. It's really nothing. The French Federation and SBD, if you have a SBD contract and you are a sponsor athlete, you can get some money with words, like a contract, well, every month paid, so that's how it's more so the sponsors that's gonna help than really the government in France, because we are not Olympics. If we were Olympics, it would have been different, but we're not.
Coco was telling me maybe is this Coco's in a different region then, right?
Yeah, he is.
Because he was telling me about some kind of spot like he was getting from the government, but yeah, it's region to region. So some people get little pieces of money per month or something.
I don't know about that. I don't
You get
know.
any yourself? Like if you don't mind me asking, do you? Because you would if anybody would.
About what? Sorry.
You would get like government money if anybody would, because if it was like, would they pay you if you're on a world team or if you did well at worlds? Like, does the government kick in anything like that for yourself?
No. So it doesn't really
Really?
work that way. It's more so, so in my previous region where I was living at my parents, during 2 or 3 years, I had like maybe around 1,500 for a year, of help from the government, the region, because I was a high profile athlete. But for example, when I moved to near Paris, they told me that they won't help me because I'm not an Olympics athlete, and it's only Olympic sport that they're gonna help. So it really depends. Really, really depends. But even if you get something for the government, it's not much. Like you can live just with that.
I mean, 1,500 in euros. I don't even know the conversion. It's not for living
It's
off of you're not living off that for sure.
eight 600, $700. Yeah, it's not much.
But it will, at least the government would be like, we're going to pitch in for your travel, or we're buying your hotels for
No, the French Federation who do that for
yeah.
us.
I just mean that money could like go towards paying some stuff like that. Like if you instead of coming out of your pocket, the government gave you a little money of like that's over the course of a full year, but still it's I don't know. It's something anyways.
Better than nothing, but it's still,
Right.
you can't be a full athlete in France without working. It's really, really hard.
In well here's when you were in your previous region, because it was smaller, a different region, you're probably like, yeah, they would love to have you. But in Paris, you guys are having the Olympics next year, right?
Yeah, we do.
Like you, that's difficult to ask for money when they're like, listen, we got a lot.
I'm just thinking about the traffic right now. It's already bad. It's gonna be really, really bad.
I'm a huge Olympic guy. Are you going to watch the Olympics?
I'm not really in the law, you know. I'm not. I
Really?
don't.
Even I'm
Yeah,
not.
I don't. So that's the thing. I love powerlifting, and I know almost every athlete's everything about IPF and stuff. But I'm not really watching other sports at all. It's not really my thing.
Like do you so you don't watch like other sports?
I don't.
Do you watch powerlifting?
I do.
It's
I
so
do.
because you as a SBD France and silent worker kind of have to, right? You have to know who's who. You're signing athletes and stuff.
Yeah, we know. I know most of French powerlifting for sure, the athletes and everything. But even like the others in international platform, I know most of them. Even if like I don't know personally, but I know the names and the category and stuff. Like especially on the woman's side, I'm less a little bit less in the man's side. But yeah.
Do you pay attention to like USAPL stuff like that or no?
I don't anymore because they're not IPF. So
Right.
I'm watching America now.
When they were trying to do like international USAPL, I that was like obviously that didn't really take off. They
So
ended off.
someone reached out. I don't remember the name, but someone from the USAPL reached out if you would like to join USAPL International. Like Pana, me, Tiffany, if you would like to run USLPL meets in France. And I was like, dude, I think you don't understand. We don't have, it's, how can I say that? It's not worth it for us as Europeans, as French people, but even like in our other European countries, it's not worth it. It's not. If you are not IPF, if you are not like world title or something, we just don't care. Like, we really care about titles in Europe. We really care about worlds, Europeans. It means something. World records and stuff, like, it's really, really means something to us. So we just knew that USIPR will never work here and will never work in France, even if they tried hard. You can put money price, but when you are real athletes, I really think when you are deeply an athlete, you don't really care about money. You care about records. You care about titles, because it just means something. Like money go back and forth and whatever, but the title, like when you win a title, you have win it. Like that's someone's gonna ask me how much did you win at that championship? Like no, they're gonna ask you what lift you did, if you break records, if you did PRs, if you win a title or something. Like nobody gonna ask you about money. Like so
Okay,
it's
sir.
don't say that it's not nice to win money. Obviously, we need money to live and everything, but I don't think it's something that really drives athletes in Europe and in France especially. I was competing with Pana. We were not winning money at all. We were doing it because of pure passion, because we wanted to win titles. And tomorrow, if you tell me you can go to Worlds and win a world title, or you can go to USAPL and win like 1,000, 100,000 euros, I will still go with World Championship.
Well, here's the thing.
Most athletes in France, I'm pretty sure they will too. Or they're gonna do like most people did in USAPL. They're gonna go first in USAPL, win some money, and go back to IPL because it's just boring at some point, I guess. I don't know.
Money itself also isn't like we're not talking about like we're talking like people talk like it's a big bag. No, we're talking you do a whole competition, fly to the other side of the world, compete. And you're going to win like $2,000 or like whatever. Like this isn't, people get paid that, you know, people in a normal day job, much more than that. You would never, this isn't a living. You're not actually changing your life by doing it. The money is, with all due respect, relatively insignificant amounts of money. Like this isn't, you know, even when they're like, well, I'm in it for the bag. I'm in it as a professional, but you're not really. If you were, you would just get a normal day job and make much more money. Everyone, powerlifters who are pretending it's about that, you're pretending it's about that. You understand, like they all understand what you're saying about, I'm in this for the moments. I'm in this for the experience. I'm in this for like all of the things you just listed. And people who are pretending they don't understand, yes, you understand. Because if you didn't understand and you were actually about concerned about money, you would get a real job. You would get a day job and make much more money and just powerlift on the side if it was about money. But you're not. You're focusing on moments as well. And yeah, it would be it, in terms of titles, I don't know if USAPL realized. Well, first off, for money wise, you can make money at IPF Worlds through sponsorships of like SBDs giving money out in terms of medalists, flying people out there. Sheffield's massive for money.
I think the mistake that they did, and they didn't realize, and because I was listening some podcasts and some people, they were like, "Oh, most of the big lifter from USAPL gonna stay USAPL. They don't gonna go powerlifting America at first." They were thinking, "Oh, it's gonna be enough." But maybe they were just thinking about USA, and maybe in USA it did work for a while, but powerlifting is just not USA anymore. Powerlifting is all over the world, and Europeans now is a big thing. And in Europeans, what matters is IPF. So as soon as USAPL, before French people were watching USAPL, they were, because it was going to qualify you for IPF Worlds. Since then, nobody watch it. Everybody is watching Powerlifting America because this is what's going to qualify you for IPF. So it was really funny when I heard some athletes, "Oh, Powerlifting America never going to work because we're not there, because we have big ones, blah blah, everybody going to go USAPL." And we were, to be honest, we were laughing about it in France. We were like, dude, you are not the only big athletes anymore. Europe, it's a big thing. And I'm pretty sure probably Team America are going to take over. And I think it's changing now. And there is a lot of athletes who is coming to from USIPL to probably Team America. And I think at first they did a mistake. They should have stayed with probably Team America. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, proof is in the pudding. For instance, a couple things. So when you're talking about like titles, for sure, it's not going to mean as much or almost anything to Europeans when you're like, but Leah, if you're okay, so Leah, if you're with IPF, you become a world champion and go to Sheffield and make that kind of money, well, far more money anyways. Or Leah, come over to our federation. You could be the United States of America powerlifting French champion. And you'd be like, what the fuck is that? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm the United States of America powerlifting French national champion. That doesn't even make sense to me when I say it. That's like, it would be very difficult to, for.
Have at the government, I'm listed at the high profile athletes. If I leave IPF, I don't have that anymore. So I was like, what is the matter to go to USIPL? It's make no sense. It's make no sense. For Europeans, it's make really no sense.
It was a branding issue. It was a very, like for them, it's very difficult to go international when your federation, your organization is called USA Powerlifting. It's going to be very, to say difficult is like an understatement. And then on top of that, like you said, I think they overestimated the what they brought to the table to the powerlifting world, the global community, because their viewership, once they left the IPF, IPF Worlds had like 5 times the amount of views. And they thought people were just going to watch them regardless after they left. When as it turns out, the rest of the world, and probably a lot of Americans even, changed what they were watching and just weren't watching. And you have, it's the USAPL Nationals, and they have like one fifth the views of IPF Worlds because people just were like, all right, well, I'm not going to. I'm diverting my attention elsewhere. It didn't quite work out like they thought. I don't know how they fix it, or what the change is. But at the very least, the international idea wasn't gonna fly. I knew it was probably diverting attention that just and resources that could have been allocated elsewhere. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And now, in terms of Europe. You were talking about how the European, first off, I'm so happy Europe has risen in terms of their powerlifting. When you first entered into powerlifting in 2016, France, Italy, Sweden, well, Sweden was still a big powerlifting nation, but Spain, they weren't big powerlifting nations. Now, Europe is like, it's totally different. Totally different. And Europeans, the European Championship means something. It means something to be a European champion now. Back in the day, if someone heard like, oh, they're a European champion, it'd be good, but not like now. Now they know, like, okay, if I hear someone's a European, like what titles have they won? Well, they won at Euros. You know, they even to medal at Euros means okay, you're a contender. You're for real. That wasn't always the case. And that's a huge piece for the Europeans. I don't know how we do that with North Americans. It's going to be difficult. You were at North Americans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know because so we have Europeans in most sports like soccer, basketball, whatever, like athletes, there is European championships. So in every sports and even in powerlifting, it's always has mean something to win a European title. And sometimes, most of the time, if you are Europeans, if you have a European title, you are a contender for world championship, like for the podium or the first place. I don't know about the I don't know much about the history of North America, but yeah, I was there this year and I saw countries that I never saw at Worlds before. Like they were like a lot of Latino people and from the islands. And I was so happy to meet them because I never saw them before at World Championship. And I think they should come, but I guess it's just really expensive to make the travel from there. And it's just easier to go to North America because it was a little island too. It was in Cayman Island. But yeah. I don't know, or maybe because there is no as much level for the moment and it needs time to grow, like the level in general at that championship to make it like really like a big thing. But yeah, it was really nice. It was really, really nice.
I think you're right that culturally, you're like European Championship, the title in other sports you guys play in Europe means a lot, holds weight. So when you grow up, and culturally speaking, if you watched any of these other sports and you have European champions and it means something, when you get into this sport, it just that mindset transfers over because you grew up in all these different sports. So I think you're right. I think culturally that's the case. Over here in North America, that isn't there. It's different. Over here in North America, in our sports, there's like culturally on the rise, on the way up. There's like college basketball, college football, college, and or even in hockey, it's OHL, and like it's not a North American league. So I think you're right in that when we grow up, that mindset doesn't transfer over. Another thing you hit that was is probably right as well. All those nations that show up in North Americans, and there's more than people think. Like North America is Canada, US, Mexico, but we actually in the North Americans, we have all Central America and the Caribbean countries like Jamaica and all them are in there as well. And they're just not powerlifting nations yet. They need to be brought up. And Powerlifting America is doing things like having them come over as guest lifters at their nationals, like Jamaica and stuff like that, to help bring them up. So they have like big competitions on the calendar to like look forward to. It's difficult to make a nation pop. It's difficult to just turn a nation into a powerlifting nation. You guys did it. It's done. It's been done. It can happen. It just.
You just need like some figures like really show up and become big like to make that kind of wave begin. And I think it's gonna happen with more nations because we have Africa too, that there is no much African lifters yet. Well, Asian's gonna come over soon too. But I think as soon as there will be those big figures and those waves of powerlifting through social media and local lifters, it's gonna happen. I think in the next 10 years we will have more and more like people from different countries. Because for the moment it's really North America, like Canada and US and a lot of Europeans now, but even in Europe before it was not that much, and that now there is more and more countries growing. I know that it's becoming big too with Arabic, like Kuwait, Dubai. I know like powerlifting is becoming big there too. So yeah, I think when you think about it, like raw powerlifting, it's really new. It's really new, like when you compare to other sports like athletics, basketball, soccer, whatever, like it's really, it's new. So it's need time to grow. We had equid before, but raw, it's like, I don't know when it's 2014, 2013, the first word, I think.
13, yeah. That's
Like
nothing. Yeah.
it's 10 years ago. So,
We're doing good considering.
it needs time.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely grow in a lot of different nations and areas. It'll continue to, and I think us as in powerlifting going into the World Games raw. To your point, because I think raw, classic, whatever you want to call it, I think that's what's going to make it blow. And I think when we go into the World Games, other nations that were kind of in, kind of not, they'll turn on. In other nations that are big in the Olympics, like Jamaica, Jamaica's big in the Olympics. The World Track and Field Championships is on right now. Jamaica's all over. Jamaica's like killing it in track and field, and like they're an athletic nation. And then when North Americans has the Pan Americans, so it's the entire side of this world. Every 2 years, the North American Championship becomes the Pan American Championship. So then you put in like all of South America, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, all of these nations. They're so freaking Brazil is ma that's like 250 million people. Like these are nation, these are massive nations. We just got to turn it on. We got to start recruiting talent over there. It can happen just like it happened in Europe, but it's going to take a little bit of time. So I think the World Games will help. And I think we're also getting in with the Asian Games, and it's multi-sport. So people who wouldn't know about powerlifting will know about powerlifting when we get into these multi-sports and they get coverage and certain athletes. But we'll see. I got to go take a 2 minute pee break. You want to take a quick break and we come back? Okay.
I
Okay, because I've been drinking tons of coffee. It's still morning. Let's double back in 2 seconds. Okey-dokey artichokey. Let's talk a little bit about the World Championships, Sheffield, and then the Sheffield coming up. So this Sheffield, we hadn't talked on the podcast. I always talked a bunch, but not in, on the podcast. So you were dealing with some injuries going into the Sheffield, and what was it like? The experience, your expectations leading into it, and how you felt coming out of it.
So Sheffield 2023 was tough. It was tough for me because so I didn't qualify for it. I got the wild card and I was dealing with that back injuries for a while, like since February, March is beginning, and it just got worse and worse over time. And I really took it seriously after the Arnolds, because after the Arnolds, I started to not be able to squat anymore, to deadlift. It was just getting worse and worse. And so I got that wild card for Sheffield, but I was barely training. Like I was in process of rehab. I was mentally was really, really tough. I was going through like a really bad time. And it was the first time that I was that injured too in my powerlifting career as an athlete. So it was really, really stressful because I doubt I could make it to Sheffield. I doubt to be able to come back. I doubt about just being able to perform or do something. And I was putting like a lot of pressure on me for this meet. And I thought about pulling out, but I was like, you got a wild card, SBD believe in you, they trust you. Like, you just can't do that. You have to try until the end. So I did my best to just come back at the level I was. But I didn't like make much progress going to Sheffield. So it was tough because I was really frustrated about to not be at my best. Yeah. To not be able to be at my best and to really push the world record as much as I think I'm capable to do. And I was scared too because I was like, okay, I'm coming back. I'm able to lift again, but can my body handle such a big meet? Like, if my back doesn't gonna break just right after, and I will have to go back to that process again. So I was really happy because it was the first Sheffield and it was so big and there were so many people and SBD ran such a big meet, such a good meet because they did everything for the athletes. Like they think about so much and they're like we are like so comfy, you know, comfortable. But it was just tough for me because I was not like in the mood for competing because I didn't feel at my best. So, yeah.
It's bittersweet. You show up, everyone knows like you're Leah Bavois. Like you're the expectation levels of how you'll perform. On the flip side, at least you were there. Everyone's gonna remember the first one. The very first Sheffield, if this thing goes on for the next 20 years, you were Sheffield number one. And the experience of it, like we're already talking about 2019 Worlds being like, oh my God, you remember when? You know, do you remember 2019 Worlds? Wasn't that crazy? Well, in 5 years, we're going to be talking like, do you remember the first Sheffield? And who knows where Sheffield's going to be in 5 years' time, how crazy it's going to be. You were there, you know, and just like Sam Calhoun, where you don't know who's coming around the corner, what's going to happen. The future's not for sure. You got to show up and just be like, whatever. You did the right thing. Show up, do your
Yeah,
best, take it in.
I did a big work with my coach too, my mental coach Brittany, about it because, she said, "Why do you want to do Sheffield though? So find your why you would do it, and that's gonna help you in the process actually." And I was like, "Okay, everybody thinks I'm done because of my back injury, so I want to show people that it's possible to come back from a back injury and to still be able to perform, even if like it's not, I knew I couldn't do plus 10 on my best total, but at least just come back from it and be able to do something like I already have done when I was healthy." And that was my why. And I think I did great because I did a little bit better than my previous world record. And I had been able to do the squat work record. I had been able to bench. I had been able to deadlift heavy, and just to show up and show that, yeah, we all can deal with back injuries. It's tough. It's a process because you have to rehab and everything, but you can come back from it. Because I have heard so much people telling me that I was done, that I wouldn't be able to come back from it. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you it's possible. And Sheffield wasn't me to show that.
Back is toughest to work around. Like an arm, a leg is one thing. Your back, you can't even sit and work and it'll still hurt. Like your back is the hardest to work around. It's so you see a mental coach. It's interesting because this, I love this kind of stuff. I remember having Steffi Cohen on. She had bombed previously. I think she might have even bombed twice. Started seeing a mental coach. And she, this is back when she was a powerlifter. She was on the podcast talking about how much the mental coach helped. I remember having Mark McQueen on, who way back in the day was a 120 junior. He's now moved on into like grappling and does jujitsu, but he was a world champion junior. He said he was, this is the coolest. So he said he went to go see a mental coach. I don't, you tell me your experience because I love this stuff. You know, we're so, certain mental coaches and our mind, the mind is a beautiful thing. It can completely make you, everything can be fine and it can make you unravel. When everything's fine, everything is perfect. And yet, because of our mind, we can be like crazy anxiety, whatever. And it's like, what are you worried about? However, on the flip side, the beautiful thing about your mind, everything can be unraveling and you just are like, no, it's going to come through. We're going to be fine. Everything's okay. And you could, and it's like how it, the mind is, it's so complex and you can work with it. So anyways, Mark McQueen went, he had a massive shoulder issue going into the 2017 World Championships. He went to go see a mental coach. And it was, this was a little bit different of a mental coach. They actually use like hypnosis where they put you under and give suggestions in to you. So he laid down and the mental coach started talking to him and he said he wasn't asleep, but he wasn't awake. And then afterwards, which is bizarre to explain. And then afterwards, the mental coach was like, he was like, okay, so when are we starting? And the mental coach is like, no, we're done. And they, and he's like, Mark was like, how long have I been here? And the mental coach is like, we did our whole session. He's, I don't remember anything. He's like, you're good. So what's going to happen when you're there at the World Championship? I want you to picture yourself. Your color is blue. You told me your color is blue. I want you to picture yourself breathing in and picture blue. and picture this and focus on your breathing and focus on the color blue and focus on yourself. And Mark said, when he was at the World Championships and the pain started settling in into, and he could feel it, he started breathing in and he saw blue. He pictured the blue all around him. And then as he's breathing in, he's breathing the blue in, and all of a sudden it's going into his body. And he's breathing it in, and all of a sudden he's powering up, and he could feel it entering his body. And he's like, holy shit, I'm gonna smash this. And he said the pain was gone. He's like just totally bought in. And I'm like, how is this possible? He goes, dude, it's possible. Your mind is, it's crazy what you could try to convince yourself that your mind can do. And I mean, if you dive in, I've told this story before, but when Mike Tyson was young and he was adopted by Customato, Mike Tyson, like, he was fighting, right? I know I shared this on my Instagram story where Mike Tyson's 15 years old and they had him in tournaments fighting like 22-year-olds, like men. These are men, and he's a 15-year-old, and he'd be crying. He'd be so scared to fight these guys. And to help him, Customato, when Mike Tyson would sleep, Customato would enter his room while he's sleeping and say, you are Achilles. You are Charlemagne. You are like a warrior. You are a god. And when you enter the ring, you don't have to be afraid of anyone. And just like say it over and over and over and over into his head when he's sleeping. And then when Mike Tyson would enter when he was in the dressing room, he'd be so afraid that he would break down in tears and cry because he was so nervous. But as he got closer and closer to the ring, he got more and more confident. And then once he dipped his head and entered the ring, he's a god, and you are in trouble. You know, and it was, Mike Tyson said, I don't know why it was. Then one night I woke up, and there's my adopted father talking to me, telling me these things while I'm sleeping. And he's like, this dude is hypnosis. He's like putting it in my head. You're a god. Don't be afraid of these guys. You're a god. But when you're in that ring, you're a god. And this is your world. And so anyways, it's really interesting to me, all this stuff. I've tried certain things. Like, I've tried hypnosis. I've tried a bunch of things, and I don't know if it works or not, but tell me about your experience, like how it's helped you, like seeing a mental coach and what you guys do.
I always loved mental stuff. Like, I'm really passionate about it. I think our mind is so powerful in so many ways. So I see athletes like taking care of their nutrition, taking care about the training, their rest and everything, but not so much about their mental. When your brain it's what makes you live, like literally, like make you breathe and coordinate everything, and I think it's, yeah, it's just really, really powerful. So I always try to work on mental stuff. But when I really started with a professional, with Brittany, it's really changed my view and my mental approach on training, on competition. And I feel it just breaks some barriers, mental barriers that I had before, and to push me even more than my limits. So I have a really concrete example. So I had to do, it was before Sheffield. So I was okay with my bag, but as I didn't train for a while, I was just coming back. So everything felt heavy. Like, I was totally detrained. Everything felt heavy and yeah. And I felt like I lost all my strength, and we did those exercises about focus on the moment, to feel my strength, like to put me together, and I had to do, like, I think it was 4x2 at 200 on squat. I kind of failed the first set, I tried the second one and I was like RP 20. And Ben was with me and was like, okay, we're gonna drop the weight. And I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. And I do that Britney exercise on focus, like to put my strength together, to put my mind right, and I crushed the last two sets. And just because mentally I was not there, mentally I was studying, I was feeling weak, and I was like pursuing myself that I was weak at that time and I couldn't do it. I was just not doing the right things. But as soon as like I did those little exercises, and I remember because I texted her and I said, you know what, I did it a little bit about your exercises, but now that I really need it and I'm doing it, okay, it's powerful. It's working.
I've read books. There's a beautiful book called A Fighter's Mind. And it's not all about fighting, but this one guy, he visits a bunch of athletes, and each chapter is a different athlete from a different sport. And they talk about exactly what we're talking about, the mind. And he visits Randy Couture, he is a fighter. And Randy Couture is like, if I tell you to close your eyes and picture a lemon, and I describe the lemon, the contours of the lemon, everything about this lemon, and I go into vivid detail about this lemon. You picture and imagine it. And then I take a knife and you picture me slicing through the lemon. You literally have a physical response. Your mouth might start watering. I can give you a physical response to an image. There is that connection. There is physical
So
responses.
your brain, it's not really capable to do the difference between something that it's real and not when you are imagining something. So that makes sense.
And he said, so we can, the way you think can affect you. Now, it's not going to turn you into Superman necessarily, but cortisol levels going up because of stress, because you're focusing on the wrong port, that cortisol levels will affect you. That will affect your performance. That'll affect your sleep, food, and actual physically how strong you feel, how quickly you fatigue. It affects you. Or the other side, in terms of getting good sleep, your appetite staying up, energy management, it'll also affect you in terms of mental. It does matter. You know, it matters these things. It matters more and more, especially when things are starting to go wrong. So it's interesting. I mean, there's one of the chapters, he talks to an ultra marathon runner. So this person will run a marathon, and this will probably apply to like powerlifters when you're in the actual training camp. A marathon every single day for 6 weeks. Every day, wake up, run a marathon every day for 6 weeks. Okay. And he
Gosh.
said, exactly. And he said, in week three, one time, he started urinating blood because the body is completely shutting down and like it's getting scary. The body's just totally breaking down, urinating blood. Because you stop urinating, like, okay, well, we got a problem. I got blood in my pee. And he's telling himself, if this is happening to me week three, what is week four like? What is week five like? There's 6 weeks. We're halfway through. I'm urinating blood already. Then your mind starts going to, holy shit, how am I going to make it? But by week four, he just stopped urinating blood. Just stopped. His body just adjusted. And he noticed it doesn't always get worse. Sometimes it even gets better. Just stay positive, hang in there, and don't give up. Don't pack your tent and leave. Hang in there, and it doesn't always get worse. Sometimes it gets better, even if for no other reason, you're just hanging in there.
Yeah, but your brain and your body, it's a beautiful machine that it's capable to adapt so much, so much. And I think a lot of people think it's kind of weak, or you have like to really take care of it because it's gonna break or whatever, but it's just way stronger than what we think.
Not only that, it's going to affect in terms of like even in the bigger picture, we'll talk about worlds in one sec. I'll wrap up this talk, but I just want to say it also going back to, you know, how you surround yourself with all the people you're talking about for Silent Worker, SBD France, and everything you guys have accomplished. The way you think and the way you are affects your daily life because people either want to be with you or not. They either want to work with you or not work with you. They either want to bring you in or not bring you in. And how you act does have repercussions bigger than just your day to day. And this is another thing that I think some people don't recognize. But anyways, going to the World Championships, a whole nother deal for Leah Bavois, huh? What did you think about this World Championships? This World Championships by far was the biggest in terms of hype, in terms of the media around it, in terms of the atmosphere. The crowd cheering was like no other World Championships. Your performance was amazing. And yeah, tell me a little bit about what you think about Worlds.
I was happy to be able to be back at Worlds, even if like the goal was not to push the world record or whatever, but I was healthy. I could have trained like I used to, so I was like in better shape and better mind of state. So and yeah, I was confident for that worst. I was confident, and the goal was to win and to qualify for Sheffield. And I didn't have to cut because I was 69, even if I was a light 69, and because I was like 65 something. But yeah, it was nice. It was nice to just feel back and like myself again.
And obviously Penna, Turbo Tiff, all you guys once again becoming a world champion, just like 2021. When you guys redid that picture, like how good did it feel? Like, oh my God, the band's back together. We're all on top again.
Yeah, it was. I think I was even more happier for Pana than for myself.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So it's really funny because, well, funny, kind of, because we became world champ at the same time. 2022 for both of us was really bad as professional athletes. He couldn't compete at nationals. He was sick at Worlds. He couldn't do the Arnolds. He bombed out at the Europeans. I couldn't lift at the Europeans. I had to pull out. Well, I had a really big meet at what is the name again? At the Arnolds, but I missed weight at Worlds. So 2022 was really not our years at all. And 2023 began bitter for both of us. So, and we win again, like our world title. And we are going to Sheffield together. So I think that's the thing too, that we couldn't do Sheffield last year, well, 2023 with him. I think it was different because we used to compete all the time together, most of the time. So yeah, I think that Sheffield 2024 is going to be the special one for me because he will be here. Tiffany will be here. And I just know that it's going to be our year. It's going to be better.
Yeah. You guys are different when you're together. You guys like when you guys compete and everything. And you guys together is a whole nother monster. Like, obviously, he was at Sheffield last time. But when you guys compete, Penna competing is different. You competing is different. You know, Turbo, like, you guys are more turned on, intense, and you're about to go through it together.
Yeah.
So it's for sure going to be. And another difference, this time, Coral Agara is going to be there. And she was saying, so you guys, it's funny how when you first got into powerlifting and looked it up, Coral Agara was one of the people you've seen. Your first world championships, 2019, Gara was there, won it.
Yeah.
But everything you guys have done has been like you and Gara. Were you surprised by her performance in the 63s? Because she did great. She adjusted to an injury, pulling sumo, adjusted to conventional,
yeah,
ended up still getting a world record total. So she's like, it worked in terms of that. What were your thoughts on that? And what are your thoughts on potentially you and her at Sheffield in the same weight class?
I was really happy for her that she took the world record total because I knew she was totally capable to do it. I think if there is one girl that can beat me today, it's her that in 63 or 69, because I think we are as strong as each other. And she missed her last deadlift at the Arnold's. And but even if she had pulled it, I would have won by 0.5 with my last deadlift. But like she was already capable to do 556 at that time. So yeah, I was not surprised about that. And I was really, really happy because I think we just push each other to be better and to push the 63 and I think like the 69 like far, yeah. So, but I can't wait. I can't wait to for Sheffield. I'm really, really hyped about it because so she win in 2019. I win at the Arnold's and now I feel like it's 1-1 and now it's like, okay, who is really the best?
Special in sports, very rarely do you have two people so good at the same time and within the same body weight. Like she's won worlds in equipment, out of equipment, multiple times, done it. And then you've broken world records of 63, broken world records of 69, won world championships, at 63, won world championships at 69. Everything you guys have done, like when you guys retire, both of you are going into the Hall of Fame. Both of you are going to be remembered as all-time greats. Both of you are legends in the game. Very rarely are we going to have two people in their prime with the resumes you guys have, one in one, that might go head to head. That is can't miss. You can't not watch this. It's amazing. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you're watching too, but so Team France going to juniors, stacked team, obviously on the women's side. Team Italy is now a stacked team. When I did the preview show, I was talking about they have like the same amount of lifters nominated in the top five. France has some more nominated number one, but it's getting closer. So in terms of rivalries for nations, Italy and France are getting closer. France is still going to be in the lead for sure, but Italy's on the rise. So it's a good, you guys are at the front of it, Gara and you, and your two nations, powerlifting nations, are watching. I asked Carola when she was on the podcast, are you going to go 63? Are you going to go 69? She was non-committal. She wasn't going to say yet. She's like, I don't know.
It would be silly to go 63. Like it's already high. I think she can push it, but like if she does what she did as a 63 and 69, it's already like almost 10 kilos more than the world record for the moment. So it will be silly to lose those 10 kilos and maybe win Sheffield. Because I think 63 world record is gonna be harder and harder to push because I think it's we can still push it but not like 10 20 kilos for the moment. So yeah, I think that would be silly to go 63. I'm waiting her in 69. For me she's in my head even if she didn't say she's gonna be in 69 weight class. I don't think she's gonna fool the weight class like me. I think we will be around I think her normal body weight is around 64 65 max. So mine should be around 65, 66. But yeah, I'm winning her at 69 because I want that head to head. Yeah, I want that rematch.
Yeah, for people listening, so Sheffield is gauged off of the percentage you break the world record. And to your point, for now, the world record at 63 is higher than 69. Now, this is because anyone who remembers the world championships, you did not take your last deadlift, came out, weighed the crowd. Thank you very much. Obviously, makes no sense to break the world record, win, and leave the world record as it is. So for not only it makes total sense for her to go 69 because the world record is lower in the 69 kilo class. So to your point, she'll rank higher in Sheffield no matter what as a 69. She doesn't have to cut weight. Who likes cutting weight? Eat what you want, feel strong, feel great. Recovery is amazing because your calories are in. And how do we not get Leah Babwa versus Carola Garra? How does that, in what world? This is can't miss. This is like the two best in the world clashing. It has to happen. And it means a lot for you. How much does it mean in training, in preparation? I know Penna openly has said on the podcast, he needs opposition. He's like aggressive with it. It's a little different.
I think I do too. I do too. I don't need it. I don't really need it, but I like to have it because it really pushed me in tough moments. When it gets harder, I'm like, oh, she's trained too. Like you can't be lazy. And I know some other people who wants to break the world record in 69 too, and who are coming after me, so I can't be lazy, and I won't be lazy going to Sheffield. Like, trust me, I'm beating a huge total. So if someone's gonna beat me, and he has to not be lazy and to really push hard.
Are you staying 69 for here on out, do you think? Or do you think you might
So
ever return to 63?
I want to return to 63 at some point, just to break the world record again.
Why not? You could go back and forth.
moment, I'm gonna commit to 69 for the, yeah, until the World Games, I think.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I guess World Games a little different because they combine weight classes and stuff. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know all the weight classes off by heart what they're going to be like. Is there a 69 class or no?
69 should be with 76, I think. It's
So
gonna be two
then
way.
squish
So
together, then you'll have to go against six.
57, 63, 69, 76, and 84, 84 plus.
Okay, for sure go 63 then. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to go against Carola Garra doing, or sorry, Carlina doing 600 kilo totals. Like, why would you do that? Right? That's crazy. Going against like Jess and them because they'll combine those two weight classes, right? So,
Yeah,
totally
based
makes sense.
on IPF point.
Gotcha. I guess I would
So
have to crunch the numbers. Yeah.
yeah, for the moment I it would be an advantage to be 69 against 76, more so than 63-57, because 63-57 it's high on points. It's
Yeah, okay,
120.
that's different. I didn't think about that. I see, I haven't, because I'm more of a classic guy, not super into equipped. So I haven't given the World Games enough of attention when it's happening. And now that it's classic, I mean, we're a little ways out, so I haven't dove in too much, so to speak. But yeah, no, good points. We'll see. And who are some of these people that you see as 69, 63s on the come up? Do you see some people that you think, oh, she's going to be good?
Well, Carola for sure, and Natalie Richards in the 57. So yeah, that's mostly it for the moment that I see.
And there's France has got like Samantha and Clara Perrault, and who's also strength guys.
We will see what Samantha does, and there is Andorina too in the 69, and Clara. So it's four people actually, but it's only can be two going to words. So I don't know. For the moment, Clara seems to be stronger than the two other ones, but we will have to see what they do at World Junior. I know Clara wants to do the world record total. She's working hard for that. But after Sheffield, even if she does it like at Europeans, because I won't compete at Europeans. My next meet would be Sheffield, and she break it. It won't be 550 anymore. So after Sheffield, so.
Yeah, it's exciting because she's young. She's 21, I think, or something like that.
Yeah,
There's
she's.
so many. Yeah, there's so many talented people coming out of France in the world in general, but France is getting it's getting tougher and tougher. She did 5:35, I think, in the gym not too long ago. She's doing well, but eventually, you're going to be back in the 63, so it won't be really your focus anyways. And that's probably this is where France is getting so good, where they're going to be like, hey, look it. Maybe if you go this weight class, they go that weight class, we have potential for two world champions instead of, you know, it's getting tough to like move people around, right?
No, I won't say it.
Ah, we'll leave it. We
No,
got this is.
but someone was trying to push me hard to go 63 and let Clara at 69, but I was like, dude, I'm not doing that. I'm staying 69.
Not yet. No, this year wouldn't make sense. This year wouldn't make sense because of everything we already just said. But in the future, we'll see how it all works out. But yeah, listen, thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm glad you came on, man. We had a good discussion. And yeah, the door is always open. Hopefully, I see you again soon. I saw you a lot. This we saw like at Sheffield. We saw each other at World. We saw each other at Silent Worker. We saw each other in Toronto when you came to Canada. Like we've seen each other quite a bit in the first half of 2023.
So I think the next time it's gonna be Sheffield 2024. I won't see you before, I think.
I know. We had a good run, kid. We had a good run. But let me know if you're in Canada again or US or whatever, and we'll hang out.
Okay.
Okay, listen, everybody, whatever platform you're listening on, please do subscribe. As per usual, give us high ratings. Until next time, six pack lap it at six up, and we are on.